This morning's scripture reading, Matthew 10, 40 through 42, can be found on the New Testament, page 11 in your pew Bible. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. There are Sundays when I work so hard to put something down on paper, and then I get here and God works in a different direction entirely. And what I have seems so trivial, I don't even want to present it to you. Such a day as today. To be attentive to where God is leading is one of the challenges of this. I'm going to do something I don't think I actually have ever done. I opened my email this morning as I came to the church quite early, and just to check and see if there was anything I needed to know before service began, and our son Carl had sent me an email with a link to Mitch Albom's article in the Free Press this morning. The timestamp on the article was 12:45 this morning, so apparently Mitch posted it early this morning. It's an article that comes out of his recent book, Have a Little Faith, and I know a number of you have read it. And maybe if you receive the Free Press, you're way ahead of me and you've already read this article. But I need you to hear it because of what it tells us about this morning's scripture and the week we have just had together. Mitch Albom titles this article, When Those in Need Are Right Next Door. And this is what he has to say. Thursday night, inside a huge decaying Detroit church, two worlds were nudging each other like kids sharing a bed. On one side was a movie set. A TV film was being shot of my book, Have a Little Faith. And massive cameras, cranes, and monitors, not to mention more than 100 workers from actors to set designers, were clamoring about the sanctuary, applying makeup and erecting lights. On the other side, inside the gym, some 36 homeless men were bedding down for the night. It could not have been more surreal. I Am My Brother's Keeper Ministries on Brainerd houses the homeless three nights a week, Thursday being one of those nights. And on this Thursday, the unshaven men in raggedy clothes didn't care if huge trucks and giant lights were jamming the streets around the church. This was their routine, and they needed a place to sleep. So they entered through the side door, as always, and they stepped aside for production assistants or prop guys or costume designers. The movie people went to the right. The homeless people went to the left. How you doing? They said to each other as they passed by. And each side went about its business. This went on for several hours. The movie was shooting a joyous scene from the book, a celebration service. Big name actors took their place alongside actual congregants of the church. The film is admirably using many real life people on screen. An organ played. A drummer kept a beat. The director yelled action, and an amen chorus broke out. Meanwhile, on the other side of the wall, the homeless men dragged vinyl mats and lightweight blankets and placed them in rows on the gym floor. I found myself wandering between the two scenes. They were separated only by a narrow vestibule. At one point, the movie had to reset all the cameras, and the workers spilled outside and grabbed food and drink from the catering tents and vans. I had some too. And then, in the middle of a bite, I had one of those moments. I had to remind myself to swallow. I wandered into the catering area amidst shelves stacked high with snack food and grabbed big boxes of Nutter Butters, Chips Ahoy, and Twinkies. And I went to the gym. You can pretty much figure out the rest, including the gratitude of the men offered a midnight snack. I'll take a Twinkie. You got any ho-hos? Thank you, man. God bless you, man. Out in the street, the movie makers were chewing quickly. Inside, the homeless were eating too. 20 minutes later, the crew returned to the sanctuary, and the weary men lay down and closed their eyes. It got noisy on the right. It got quiet on the left. The movie folks have been extremely generous to the church, paying a large rental fee, doing repairs, employing many congregants who would not otherwise see such paychecks. And they are sharing the church's inspiring story with the world. But there is something to be learned from that surreal moment Thursday night. I know it. I felt it the moment I was eating and they were not. In many ways, our city is just a big-scale version of that scene. Our haves and have-nots live so close to each other. The two sides of 8 Mile, the Grosse Pointe Detroit border. Many of us need not go far to share the bounty of our lives with people less fortunate, and yet we rarely do. We stick to our side. They stick to theirs. It needn't be that way. It's actually pretty easy to share food with hungry people. It's pretty easy to share your skills, your time, your talent. The hardest part is crossing between worlds. We are afraid. We are unsure. We don't have the time, or we tell ourselves we don't. I know it's rarely as easy as walking from one side of a church to the other, but we can reach out to others over our normal boundaries. In a place called I Am My Brother's Keeper, it was fitting to witness the power of these words. I read that this morning. It made everything that I had constructed to present to you seem trivial and incomplete. The passage from Matthew this morning: whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes the prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous man in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteousness, and whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. I am convinced that the journey of faith is transmitted from one to another by a generous welcoming, a hospitality that exceeds our wildest imagination, a hospitality that is our effort to mimic in some small way the generous welcoming that God has extended to each and every one of us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is our call. It is what Jesus told us to do. That passage, toward the end of the 10th chapter in Matthew is a part of what's called the final discourse, the missionary discourse, in which Jesus sends the 12 out. I want you to hear his instructions to them that comes earlier in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. And as you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Jesus gives the disciples instruction. And as I read it, it's an instruction that says, go first to the house of Israel. That's troubling to me, being a card-carrying member of the Gentile fraternity. But then I remember that Jesus was a Jew, and he was earnestly seeking to call his brothers and sisters back into the covenantal relationship that many of them had lost. And then I see that his instructions to us are to do as he did, to go among those who do not have, to cure and to heal and to offer hope and promise. The journey of discipleship begins with a generous welcoming. A welcoming that each of us received when we come to appreciate a grace and a forgiveness that is ours, whether we deserve it or not, irregardless of our deserving of it. And our life in Christ, which is, in fact, the kingdom of God now. Our life in Christ is an extension of that generous, profound, extravagant welcoming that sets our prejudices and our judgments on the shelf and tries to see the others as worthy children of God. That's what we're doing in Vacation Bible School with children who may not enter a church at any other time. That's what we seek to do at Kids Discovery Network with children of the same description. In the middle of all of that, a young man showed up at our door who needed a place to stay for the night and who had been turned away from the local shelter. As annoyed as I was at having to stop what I was doing with the children and drive this man to a place where I could get him a room for the night, these words that I was considering for you this morning began to sink into my heart. It mattered not that I had generous opinions about how he could organize his life in a different way. In that moment, what was more important for his sake and for mine was that I set my annoyance aside and I see him as a child of God. The journey of faith depends upon a generous welcoming that is beyond our wildest imagination. It is the way God loved us. And it is the way that God calls us to love one another. Thanks be to God.